a cause worth dying for. And here in North America, financial things are enough to keep us from honoring the Lord and doing what's right, to be, from being faithful. Faithful to the Lord and faithful in His church and honoring Him. And here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, I'd like you to follow along with me as we read tonight. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that, when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Let's go, Lord, and ask for His blessing upon this evening, and then we will commence our study here in this idea of the cause worth dying for, about absolute full surrender to Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Father, I pray that You'd help my speech and every word that comes out of my mouth to honor You. Lord, that they be the exact words I ought to speak. Lord Jesus, I love You. We need Your help. Well, Lord, we have a trying time here. A lot of things going on that just plain flat out don't make any sense. And Lord, I ask for Your wisdom. Lord, I ask for encouragement for those who are succumbing to fear, those whose emotions are overwhelming them, that Father, rather than allowing emotions to overwhelm them, that they'd go through life with the joy of the Lord. And Father, surrender and submit wholly to You. Father, how we need You. And Father, an absolute breaking, I pray that You break each and every one of us. And Father, bring us to that point of complete service to You. Lord Jesus, I love You. I thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. What an illustration for you. A certain class of men who have risen up within the last 40 years. And this is by John Newton Brown, J. Newton Brown. He goes on to say, within the last 40 years, and whose direct object seems to be these particular men, if possible, to lead Christians back to Rome. They have spoken lightly of the martyrs of past ages. Over such perversion of mind, such men, we can scarcely wonder, but must deeply grieve. For as a recent writer on this subject has well said, if ever men have won for their memories the need of honest praise, it was those self-devoted and lion-hearted martyrs for the truth, who counted not their lives dear unto themselves, but stood their ground in the forefront of the battle, valiant for the truth, even till they fell, and in falling conquered. It is stated in Andrew Murray's book, Absolute Surrender, that the great need of the church is absolute surrender to God is the one thing. Surrendering of oneself is absolutely necessary to obtain God's full blessing. Surrendering, as we find, many of us Christians live a life of mediocrity absorbed with self. What will happen to me if I do this? And God desires that we surrender our whole being to Him. A condition is contingent on our willingness to do such. You see, when we are surrendered, God promises to maintain the surrendered life, keeping you close to Himself. What a wonderful, blessed truth. If you abstain from surrender, you abstain from God's fullest blessings and enablement, and you're going to have to answer for your actions someday. You need to choose to fully surrender all to be counted worthy of your calling. What if all of these measures the government is imposing upon the churches today is really God's judgment on us for placing so little emphasis on the church and the things of God? 1 Peter 4:17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Believers that place such a little emphasis and priority on the church of God. We got to get back to the basics. Be fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. He is my life. And the institution of the church that Jesus Christ died for is my life. And the method of serving the Lord is through the local church. We need to truly evaluate how surrendered to the Lord we really are. Tonight we're going to be discussing surrender, what it looks like. Either you are surrendered today or you're rebellious. There is no middle ground. Every day we must take up our cross and follow Christ, Matthew 16:24. The question tonight is, will you surrender? I want to first look at God desires your full surrender in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. He discusses a fiery trial which is to try you. Now, this idea of surrender, as one Webster's 1828 dictionary discusses, is to yield to the power of another, to give or deliver up possession upon compulsion or demand, as to surrender one's person to an enemy, or to commissioners of bankrupt, to surrender a fort or a ship. To surrender up is not elegant. But we know who we're surrendering to. It's an almighty, caring, and loving God. And many times there's a self-surrender, as the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia discusses, that self-surrender is a struggle between the natural human impulses of self-seeking, self-defense, and the like on the one hand, and the more altruistic, a term that means showing unselfish concern for the welfare of others, impulse, and more altruistic impulse towards self-denial, self-surrender on the other, is as old as the race. There's a battle. Surrender to God, or I surrender to myself. We also understand something about this idea of surrender in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. If you'd like to turn there, you can. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, verse 6 here. You see, surrender is meaning you put your faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 6, it says, Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, what does it say? It is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we, God's request upon us, many times, as you find in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I will go, Lord, until it gets difficult. Until there's opposition, until I'm told I can't, a willingness to go. But God says, I want you to go. But many have the attitude of complacency, as we find in Luke chapter 9. Turn with me here. Luke chapter 9, verse 59. We find a very complacent attitude in many Christians, especially here in North America. They've gotten comfortable. In verse 59 of Luke chapter 9, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is what God says, surrender. You see, God's request is absolutely reasonable. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the question tonight is, are you a living sacrifice? Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Are you a living sacrifice surrendered to God? Pastor, you're talking about stuff that it's just too much. See, Jesus went to that cross, and God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. You saw the video of those who've given their lives, and when the oppression came and they could no longer meet publicly, they went underground in that, literally. The truth of the matter is, church is essential. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If you're not a living sacrifice, your gospel is hid. Are you sacrificed, set apart unto God? If 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And it goes on to say, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Is Jesus Christ set apart? So if you receive some reproach for being a Christian, Oh, you're one of them. Those crazies, those people that don't follow the toe of the line. You're one of those that put Jesus Christ first. Can you take a little bit of name calling? The question also is, am I holy or consecrated, set apart, a sacred person? What is this surrender I speak of? First of all, this surrender is a denial of myself. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's a denial of my own desires. It's a death to my will, number two, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you crucified? Your death, and I'm not talking a physical death, I'm talking a death to your will, saying, God, I want your will. There's also a demise. A demise of my lusts, a demise of those things in my life that maybe I really, really, really want to do. Or maybe I just kind of want to do, and I can give a curt excuse on why I can't serve God, why I can't be faithful to God. In Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. God wants us to say, you know what, I want all of you. Are you willing to be even regarded as being dumb? Isaiah 53:7 talks about Jesus Christ was oppressed and afflicted, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Jesus Christ before the courts would not even open up his mouth. So what is it that God desires of you and me? He wants a willingness to say, God, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 8, many times we say, well, Lord, I'll surrender when. I'll surrender if this happens. I'll surrender when it's easier. Then that's not surrender. In Jeremiah 1, 5 and 8 through 8, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. He said, I set you apart. You have a job I want you to do. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah's ministry was, he was surrendered to the Lord, but no one listened to him. His entire ministry, none Israel did not listen to him. He said, hey, don't go to Egypt. If you do, bad troubles are going to happen. They went to Egypt and bad things happened. Don't do this and don't do that. And they did it anyways. They were people that lived for themselves. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And it says here, particularly, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. We take the things of this life so seriously. Our possessions, our job, our money, our bank accounts, we take them so seriously. Are they yielded to Christ? I'm not saying given to the church. I'm saying, you say, God, you have what I have. It's yours. You gave it to me in the first place. Too much emphasis is on finances and personal hobbies and very little on actually serving Christ. With money and hobbies and personal pursuits, they take a front seat in our lives, and a daily time to meditate on God's word and service for the Lord takes a back seat. When that happens, something is wrong. If you can't spend daily time in God's word and meditate, there's something wrong in your life. You are not a growing Christian. You're a very weak carnal Christian. You ought to be in God's word daily, meditating on it. God wants a relationship with you. And I'm telling you, my friend, you're missing out on the joy of the Lord. And then we also, in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 and 6, he wants us in this surrender to be witnessing. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the question is, okay, I'm going to surrender, but how do I do this? How does God equip me to be surrendered? What is it that what do I need to do? 2 Corinthians 4:7, if you'd like to turn there. How does God equip us? Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God empowers us. God is with you. And he wants us to serve him in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 4, it talks about, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. In the fiery trial, God's Spirit will be with you. You see, God enables our full surrender. What it is in this surrender, and many times we don't surrender because we are not content with Christ. You wouldn't go to the lions. You wouldn't do all these other things that these people, you wouldn't have dug out these tombs underground, spending a tremendous amount of time to dig out the catacombs, so you could merely have a service if you weren't content with Christ. In Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You've got to be content with Christ. You see, God brings life to the believer, as Isaiah 55:3, and your soul shall live. But something else happens here. God strengthens you in that fiery trial. If you're doing what God wants you to do and you're being faithful in all the ways that God has commanded us, you know what? God strengthens you in that fiery trial, that hard time. You said, I just want to give up. I'm ready to tap out. Let me out of it. God, it's too much. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And Paul was shipwrecked and stoned and beaten. I mean, just unbelievably beaten to where they thought he was actually dead. And Paul did not stop with that. He went forward and through the fiery trials and said, I'm willing to serve God. You can't stop me. You tell me I can't, I'm going to preach Christ. I'm going to go on to a new city and start up a new work and work with some believers there to disciple them, to see a church established. You see, God gives us the tools that we need. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. You might say, Lord, I'm just not much. I don't have much education. I don't have much of whatever I think you want me to do. I just don't. I can't. But God's so clear. Jeremiah 1:5, he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God gives you the exact tools you need. You have the tool belt. You have all power from on high. The only thing holding you back is your will. You see, we need to let the Lord deliver us, but we need to do what's right. In Psalm chapter 40, verses 11 through 13, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. O God, I've done messed up. They're more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. We have a God we can cry out to. We have a God that will protect us. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through hard times. The question is are you willing to be surrendered and broken? 1 Peter chapter 4, as I had said, God will chastise us if we're not surrendered. Verse 16 of 1 Peter 4, going back, that's kind of our main passage here. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? If God's not pleased with us as Christian and judgment comes upon us, how much worse is it going to be for the unbelievers? There are times in this church where there's a call for prayer and no one comes. There's a time for corporate fasting and praying and few, if any, come. There are times for prayer before services and few, if any, come. Why is it that people can put work and other things before a faithfulness to God's house? And our actions show what we place an importance on. God wants a surrendered vessel. A fiery trial, 1 Peter, is really a book about how to deal with trials of life. Is it any wonder so many people, so many believers are under so much emotional turmoil and duress? I just can't. I don't know. And they're just like this. And every time, I got too much on me. I can't do it. You want to know the reason? They're not surrendered. There's things in their lives that God's putting a pressure on them, and they just, I can't do anymore. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Going back to the 1 Peter passage, point number 3, man offers his full surrender. In verses 15 and 16, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, and he goes through all these bad things, or even as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You found that there was a surrender in Jerusalem, that first church there in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 8, verse 4, when persecution came. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They didn't go to their homes and hide out and just hope that the persecution would end. No, the persecution came and it got so vicious, as you saw up there, they'd put Christians on poles, dip them in tar, and light them on fire for very absolutely disgusting immoral parties of Nero, Diocletian, and others. You see, if we resort and we hide out and we're not staying in the Word of God on a daily basis and meditating and spending time and being faithful to God, we're not going to be faithful when persecution comes, I guarantee it. You're going to shrink back. You're going to say, no, but it's just not worth the cost. It could be too costly financially. It could be too costly in other aspects. It could be like this illustration I found. One Sunday morning, two men are out in a boat fishing, and after several hours on the lake without catching a single fish, one of the men says to his friends, you know, we probably should have stayed home and gone to church this morning. The other man says, well, I could have stayed home, but I couldn't have gone to church. Why is that? Asks his friend. My wife is sick, the fisherman answered. We can do everything, but be faithful to Christ. You see, in Romans 6:6, God wants a crucifixion. Man offers himself, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see, as a Christian life, it's not about me. What does God want me to do? Colossians 3:3 talks about, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead to yourself. You're alive. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 11. Turn with me here. That you're alive, you're more alive than you've ever been when you're surrendered. You say, that doesn't make any sense. Because what's happening is you're allowing the Spirit of God to lead you and to guide you, and you can be faithful to Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, we are troubled on every side. Notice with me these contrasting statements. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We're also empty. And Job would say, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. We're naked when we come in, and when we leave with nothing. The only thing we have to leave with is our faithfulness to Christ, your relationship to Him. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, is Jesus Christ there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible. Indeed, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he's saying, God, help me through this trial. That was Mark 14, 36. And this idea of surrender requires a surrender of your liberties. In 1 Peter 4, 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. My liberties, I'm willing to have them taken. Paul says, I'm willing to let it go. I'm willing to say, okay, God, whatever you want. You see, in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I can't. Does this mean I can sin if I want to? No, this is not saying just because you're saved and you can't lose your salvation that God doesn't want us to be faithful. If I sin and I mess up, does it mean I lose my salvation? You can't lose it. But he's here saying in Romans chapter 6, it doesn't give you a license to live the way you want to for yourself. But you will have no peace if you live for yourself. And many people I know, they're so stressed out. They're so overburdened. They're so overwhelmed with life. And the reason is they're not surrendered. They've never dealt with the pride and the sin in their hearts and said, God, have all of me. No, there's things. There's as a marionette puppet has a puppet tied to certain things, there's strings in their life they just can't let go of. Romans 6, 12 through 16. Which I'd like you to look with me at this. Romans 6, verse 12. Verse 12 of Romans chapter 6, it says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Do you allow the Lord or the flesh to control you most often? If you are in all of this mental duress and mental struggle, then the very thing that is controlling you is the flesh. If you're overwhelmed, there's this thing in your life that are spiritually, we need to make some things right. And I know in Sunday school, as we've been teaching this idea of there's things in our heart that need to be healed up. There's some things in the past, some trauma and abuse and tragedies from the past that we need to allow Christ to heal. And Satan has a foothold many times in many people's lives, and they're not surrendered. Turn with me to what God wants, Philippians chapter 3. Just kind of an overview of the topic of surrender this evening. Because it is so vital to the Christian experience, the Christian faith, the Christian life. And if Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, it says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What are you willing to let go for Christ? What are you willing to be faithful to for Christ? You see, Christian, if we're not going to take a stand for Christ, and we're not going to take a stand for what's right and do what God wants us to do in our faithfulness to Him, when greater persecution comes, you'll be a part of those who fall away. Guaranteed. If we can't do our devotions with no pressure upon us, no persecution, who's to say you're going to spend time with God when you're sitting in a cell somewhere? Because the truth is, you don't consider Christ. You don't make Christ. You're not content with Christ. You're content with your money. You're content with your hobbies. You're content with other things, but Christ is not enough. I'm going to read you an illustration for you. One day, while he was still in Iran, Saeed found a Bible hidden in his house. A Christian had given it to his wife. Because converting to Christianity is illegal in Iran, she had hidden it from her husband so she could secretly read it. But when he found it, he too began to secretly read, putting it back in the same place so his wife wouldn't know what he was up to. By the time 6 months had passed, he had read the Bible from cover to cover several times. There's a man who's hungry for truth. At last, it was time to tell his wife, "I believe in Jesus." At first, Saeed's wife was hesitant to believe him. Nevertheless, they both began watching a Christian television on an illegal satellite dish. Fully convinced, Saeed decided that he wanted to give his life to Christ, so he called the Christian TV station despite their warnings that the station was monitored by the secret police. Saeed made his public confession of faith. He said, "Jesus is real. He will save me." Days later, the secret police arrived on his doorstep and took his wife and child away with a clear threat. "You'll never see your wife and child again unless you come back to Islam." Here in North America, we've had it good for so many years in freedom, and we've taken it for granted, and judgment's beginning at the house of God. We're seeing things happen now that I never would have thought I would have seen in my lifetime. Judgment's at the house of God because believers are not content with Christ. Everything else, but not Christ. They're not surrendered. He goes on to say, can you imagine, what if your wife and child were taken from you? Would you recant? Would you do whatever was necessary to say, okay, uncle, I give up. Yeah, absolutely. I need my wife and I need my child back. They're so important to me. Can God not take care of them? He goes on to say, Saeed asked the police to return his family, giving him 4 days to consider their demands. Miraculously, his family was able to escape to Turkey, where they lived in a refugee camp and joined the local church. It was then the United Nations called him to say he had a place in Canada, settling in Toronto. Saeed began telling other Iranians about Jesus. Before long, he had a group of about 60 people, some of whom were refugees fleeing Iran because of their faith in Jesus. Now Saeed's church asked for help to become a Baptist church, all because someone gave away their Bible in Iran, risking all to share their faith. Because of that one catalytic act, new believers in Jesus have left everything to follow him. I can't tell. I could be fined. I could have this happen to me. Oh, wow, I could do this. And something happens, though. God blesses your full surrender. You see, if the righteous don't stand up, then the ungodly will surely not be reached. If it's bad for us, how much worse is it for the ungodly? If I go to heaven, the worst they can do is make my life harsh here. Huge fines and other things to go on, but they can't kill my soul. I'm going to heaven when I die. But the ungodly, if faithful believers, what happened if Saeed never had a Bible given to his wife? No hope. You see, God blesses your full surrender. And 1 Peter 4:18 and 19 talks about that very truth. What will the ungodly do if we're not standing up? You see, turn with me to Luke 18. Luke 18:29. What does Christ mean to you? In verse 29 is Luke 18:29. It says, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting." What does surrender mean? All of you. You mean all of me personally, my body? No, all of you. That's your wife, your children, your house, your job. If you lose your job for standing up for Christ, God promises you he'll take care of you. God promises you that he'll take care of you. Will it be difficult? Yeah. Other believers come to the aid and help and lift up and encourage. Surrender means all of you. Every last aspect. And I'm not saying you give it to a church. I'm not trying to, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying before God, you and God, the Spirit of God and you, God himself, just the two of you. You say, God, all of me, my house, my bank account, my vehicles. Some of you might say, you can have my vehicles. Others, you can go on and it doesn't matter. It's all of you. Because if you hold anything back, it's not surrender. In 2 Corinthians, as I had said, verses 4, 8 through 11, he said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal," means temporary, not going to last very long. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." God blesses you. There is eternal rewards that are waiting you if you will just surrender to Christ. And we have gotten so used to watching the news and allowing it to create such anxiety and fear and watching social media. I mean, I know because myself, I allowed that in my heart. And just recently, as God was working in my heart, saying, wait a second, you need to step back. You're going the wrong direction. You're letting the wrong voices give you how to think. And God says, I want to give you how to think. I want to give you the joy and the peace of the Lord, and I want you to be able to minister to others, but I can get so consumed with world affairs that I don't concern myself with heavenly affairs. And as I come to the conclusion this evening, God desires your full surrender. God enables it. He helps you. And then we offer it, and then He blesses. Here's an illustration for you. I like what C.T. Studd, several statements that he made. He said, if I had known about Jesus dying for me, but I had never understood that, if He had died for me, then I didn't belong to myself. Redemption means buying back. That if I belonged to Him, either I had to be a thief and keep what wasn't mine, or else I had to give up everything to God. When I came to see that Jesus had died for me, it didn't seem hard to give up all for Him. He says another thing here, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. When you realize that God desires your full surrender, and you willingly offer yourself up, God promises to maintain you and keep you. And only after a person is fully surrendered will God bless you. Your willingness and your submission are prerequisites to God's enablement and blessings. Your submission and your willingness, God, all of me. Your faith, without faith is impossible to please Him. You got to trust Him. If you're not submitted, you don't trust Him and you're not faithful. You don't have faith in Him. I put my faith in Him for salvation. That's right. You stayed as a baby carnal Christian. You haven't grown. You need to consider to choose to fully surrender all to be counted worthy of His calling. Surrender ultimately comes down to a conviction of what you're willing to die for. If you're not willing to stand for truth, then you're not willing to die for it. Let me give you a final illustration here this evening. J. Newton Brown gives this illustration. He says, we cannot read the accounts of martyrs to which the reader is now introduced without a conviction that wherever, I want you to listen with me to this next statement, without a conviction that wherever religion flourishes in the soul of a man, he's talking about the faith in Jesus Christ, there is the spirit of martyrdom. Evincing itself in his temper and conduct, self-denial and readiness to bear the cross will always be essential to a true Christian character. There may be martyrdom without the rack, the prison, or the stake, but the spirit cannot exist unless there be a readiness to endure these things, if need be. I am ready, said one of our missionaries at his ordination. I am ready, if called, to die in the missionary field unless I enter it, I can have no peace. Engaged in the labor, I can die in triumph. Such is the spirit which becomes those who are acknowledged by Jesus Christ as His brethren. It cannot but afford high gratification to every devoted Baptist that the body to which he belongs has in every age furnished most zealous adherence to the cause of Christ, and that multitudes have literally glorified God in the fires. Cardinal Hosius, one of the Pope's presidents at the Council of Trent, says, if the truth of religion were to be judged of by the readiness and cheerfulness which a man of any sect shows in suffering, then the opinion and persuasion of no sect can be surer than that of the Baptists. Since there have been none for these 1,200 years past that have been more grievously punished or that have more cheerfully undergone and even offered themselves to the most cruel sorts of punishments than these people. What happens if those people had not been surrendered? You and I wouldn't be saved. What happens if believers through the centuries had said, the cost is too high. I can't afford to lose my wife, my house, my business. I can't afford to have to go into hiding. I can't afford it. It's just too much. The financial costs are too much to serve God. You know what would happen? I'd go to an eternal grave without Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ matters. Someone reached out to my family at a tire store where my parents were at, inviting them to church, and they ended up getting saved through that. What happens? They didn't reach out. We become so consumed with world affairs, we fail to consider who bought us. You're bought by the blood of Christ. You're redeemed and loved and cared for more than you know. If the judgment begins at the house of God, could it very well be we have not made church essential? We have not made a commitment to Christ. We're so busy with our lives, our hobbies. We can't even, sometimes, and people have the ability for church, they're not even there and other things. There's a lack of surrender because believers just don't value Christ. And so tonight I challenge you to do business with God, that you would come to this realization that you need to fully surrender all to Christ. If you want to do anything significant for Him, you got to be surrendered.